So I'd like to talk a little bit about the Sahaj, and Stephanie went over this yesterday, but I want to just bring it forward again so it's fresh, because isn't this what we're doing now? We're getting ready to go out into the world. This eyes open state of being, it's sort of this transition from being here in this container that we've all co-created, and now we're heading out. So Stephanie walked us through the map of meditation. And as we're going up the mat, we're waking up to what we really are at our deepest essence. And the Sahaj is here. We've been, even in our group practice, we're sort of peeling off the layers of the koshas, resting as awareness or being. Or inner resource at the end of the practice. And then we're coming back down the map. As we're putting those layers back on, it's sort of like we're like condensing again, or awareness, you know, it's like in order to experience the world, you know, we need the mind, we need the personality and the emotions, we need all of these koshas. And so we're then able to take this with us. As we are sort of waking out into daily life, but with a fragrance of what it is that we really are. I think something that's helpful to know is really helpful for me to know that there's a place on the map. I can't remember what numbers right now, but it's this place where there's moments where we remember what we are. We feel it. It's not so cognitive. We remember and feel what we are. And then there's times where we forget, right? And then we get caught up and kind of fused with what might be happening in our lives. And this remembering and forgetting is the spiritual practice. This happens again and again, as we go through life, this remembering and forgetting. It's important to know also that the moments where we forget, this is also arising out of our essential nature, right? It's part of the process. And then it shines forth again. We really have a felt sense of it again. So we're The Sahaj is an integration of the awakened understanding into all aspects of life, taking it with us. It's like this stabilized realization of no self going about daily life. And that's where, as we're teaching like a group practice, there's that place where we are like recalling the koshas that we went back through, stepping back, stepping back, stepping back. And then it's written so beautifully in the script where we then acknowledge all of this that we are. We're this that is transparent, unchanging, unconditioned, and we're this body, this mind, the personality that has wants and needs and things that we might need to change in some way, it's or address, you know, it's like it's beautiful what we really are. So we're bridging in a way our practice out into daily life. And you might find, as once you've go back into your life, you'll be doing something like washing the dishes or taking a walk, and this will be remembering you. Yeah. And then of course we can little and often touch in and remember it too. That's all I'd like to say to that. And I'd love to bring Stephanie forward. If you want to add something, Stephanie, or hop right into your where you're headed next.
Thanks, Jennifer. I think you did a beautiful job encapsulating Sahaj and the last portion of the practice, and why it's so important that we add that in to every IRAS practice that we offer. So beautiful. Thank you. Yummy, as Cynthia is saying. And thank you for the beautiful practice this morning. So we've been talking about various guiding principles and ways that we can consider iRest. And one other way is it's absolutely a practice of self-inquiry. For some of our students, they'll experience it as a guided meditation. And traditionally, a guided meditation is when someone is guiding you and you're trying to have the experience of what's being guided, right? And some of our students may always approach it that way. And even though, technically speaking, it's guided because we're offering some possible, you know, options, really, ultimately, it's a practice of self-inquiry, because we do want our students to be set free so that they can come into what's most calling their attention, they can deepen into their practice in whatever way is suitable for them in the moment, and then they can always come back to our voice later on. So that's a way that I know that some of my students are becoming more advanced meditators or are trusting their own inner process and trusting the protocol is when they come up after class and they say, "That was a great practice. And I totally didn't hear you for a long period of time because this is what I was meeting and I came back and it was really wonderful." And they don't add on to it, "Oh, I missed it." You know what I mean? So they realize that they didn't miss anything. That in fact, they got to the real plot of the meditation, right? The real juice and essence of the meditation, because it's their own. That's the practice of self-inquiry. And we have this word disciple, and disciple really means one who's capable of learning. So we could think of it as becoming a disciple to essential nature, or a devotion. What are we most devoted to, you know? And Jennifer offered to us in the practice, so that there's this shift from not my will, but thy will. We're really starting to open into this deeper mystery, this deeper essence, you could call it being, well-being, and we're listening and seeing how we want to move, how we want to live in the world. And that sense of devotion, and it's really a devotion to self-study. In yoga, we call this svadhyaya, S-V-A-D-Y-A-Y-A, svadhyaya. There's S-V-A-D-H-Y-A-N-A. And that's the practice of self-study. And that's what self-inquiry is. We're turning inward and we're seeing what's most calling our attention. We're learning the functioning of our body, senses, and mind. And we're generating a sense of wisdom that's going to lead us into some sort of action, hopefully a right action that feels right as we're living our life, that brings us into that sense of sankalpa, where we're drawn more to the heart of being and to what, you know, what we're in harmony with. So we're learning about these different aspects of who we are, and we're even willing to meet resistance. You know, perhaps some of you had seen this come up in yourself, in your practice, or in the co-meditation dyads. And resistance is a natural arising. And we meet resistance. There's wisdom there too. We meet that as a messenger, right? And that may bring up the heat in our practice, right? That's tapas in Sanskrit. So we can have tapas or heat that's generated through asana, through the movement or the postures of yoga. We also have tapas that happens through self-inquiry. The heat that arises from being able to sit right at the edge with that old messenger of that core belief, or that sense of fear, or that sense of grief, or right at the heat of experiencing the most immense joy that's bursting into bliss. It opens, right? So this is, are we devoted to sit with all of who we are so that we can understand the messengers and come into right action? This is all a part of self-inquiry. And that includes encountering the parts that are vikalpas, that are taking us away, that are out of harmony, or that level of resistance. And it's a practice that we want to do little and often. As we've talked about, this isn't just something for on the mat. As you practice all these proactive ways to meet various emotions or sensations, because remember, we can use those proactive ways with sensations, and they may or may not ever give us a cognitive insight, but they can be incredibly healing as they are at a sensorial or energetic level. So our ability to meet our emotions or meet situations and bring these practices so that we're feeling down into our body, we're not just staying in our head. We have habitual ways that we react to certain things in a very conditioned, habitual way. And our conditioning will always be present. But what this practice does is it gives us a whole new set of tools, a whole new approach, so that as we see the old habitual ways arising, what's it like to drop into your body? To use the tools that you've learned in IREST as a way to meet life in that moment, and then see what unfolds. We don't have to keep talking every moment. We can have a moment of pause. We can have a 30 seconds of quiet. Or even a minute. And the other person may be having a lot to say anyway. We can be listening and feeling simultaneously, tracking. And it's going to allow us to have perhaps a response that's fresh, that's new in the moment. It breaks that habitual loop. So we can do this little and often. We can try it on. We can weave in the inner resource little and often. These are all parts of self-inquiry. That we realize that this is a whole approach to life. And just remember, as we do, we'll be stumbling upon the mystery here and there. We'll have these moments of really settling into being, hopefully, settling into our inner resource. And then at some point, we may find that that mystery and that ground of being, or that openness, all of a sudden breaks open and it finds us, right? The inner resource just bubbles up. So little and often is just a way to nourish our system, to regulate our nervous system, to allow us to be open. Richard tells this great story of meeting a great yogi in India who was seemingly awake in a lot of ways. And, he was a meditator, been practicing his whole life, like 60 years. And he still had somebody that he went to that he was studying with, and he still meditated every day. And a student asked him, why do you keep studying? You're in your 80s, why, there could be other things. And he said, I haven't had the full awakening. And I want to be so sharp that I don't want to miss it, because it could be in the blink of an eye. And I don't want to turn away. Remember, we're honing our system. It's like we're polishing a diamond. And there's so many facets, and we're polishing the diamond, and we're polishing the diamond, and we're polishing the diamond until it becomes so crystal clear that it's just a pure reflection, a purity of the light just shining through. So it's like we're polishing that inside, we're polishing it until this great light of awareness, it can't help but just shine through unencumbered. And I wanted to recognize and mention also that essential nature then is not something to be achieved. So even though I was just sharing this, remember, there's a direct revelation that may happen. It's already the case. So at the same time, there's not something that we really ultimately have to do. We don't have to purify. And we know that it can support us, like that great yogi was saying, so that we may not miss it, because as our ability to track things becomes ever more subtle, there's a settling and a stilling, so that there's a capacity here that maybe would have been missed, right? But at the same time, I don't know, that day that I was walking, power walking along the Hocking River, I hadn't done any meditation yet, not in a formal way. And it happens to people all the time. So, because it's already the case, right? So it's nothing to be achieved. It's something that we recognize. It's revelatory. It's always been here. And you'll hear people say how, or if you've ever been in a room where somebody has a great opening or a glimpse, they may laugh hysterically, because there's a recognition that, oh my gosh, it's been here all along. I've always known this. It's so simple. So there's a remembering or a recognition that happens, that we start, just like we can recognize and remember our inner resource over and over and over again, but essential nature starts to reveal itself in every moment, no matter the state of consciousness, because our essential nature is not a state. It's not a state. All states, a state by definition, has a beginning and an end. It's born, it grows, and it dies. Our essential nature is not privy to any of that. It's always here. So it's a non-state. So we start to recognize that it's here during waking, during dreamless sleep, and during dreaming. And really, there's an effortlessness here, even while efforting may happen, because efforting happens with the I thought, doesn't it? There's got to be a someone who's efforting. What if we let go, or we recognize the efforting, and there's equally just an effortlessness here? What is it like in the meditation to explore hearing without being identified as the hearer? There's just hearing. I think most of you have probably felt that at some point during the last 5 days. You weren't in your mind being the hearer. You weren't having to label everything. There was just hearing, an effortlessness to it. Yeah. Anyway, that's what we're opening into. So I think we have a few minutes. What do you think, Jennifer? Shall we open it up for any questions or reflections, or is there anything that you would like to add before we do?
There's nothing that I'd like to add to open up to questions.
Okay. Great. So we'll see if there are any questions that are coming forward as Jennifer and I have spoken this morning. And we can call you forward if you're online, or just raise your hand if you're here in the studio.
Ikna, come on forward.
Thank you for the fabulous morning today. I happened to, like, over a period of these few days, today I noticed that there is a sense of development between attachment and detachment, but it's like a cycle. And in that cycle, we learn the habitual process of connecting and disconnecting, but at the same time, keeping that beauty of connecting and disconnecting. So there were so many small aspects which came in together, which become an important asset in our day-to-day life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you say connecting and disconnecting, can you say more about the disconnecting? What do you mean by that? Because that can mean a couple of different things, yeah?
That's a beautiful question. Yesterday when I was in one of the dyads, and I noticed that when I proceed with the dyad, there is a point where I'm releasing to the universe. And that felt like, you know, the gripping starts releasing. And then I come back to my original self. So that's the process that I'm feeling out loud, and I'm feeling happy about it. Yeah, it's about recognizing that it's possible and this is how it feels.
Absolutely. Beautiful. And what I'd offer you as an inquiry, something to check out, is as there's the, you're using the word disconnecting, I'll use disidentifying, we could replace them interchangeably. Or as you're describing the releasing to the universal self or to the universe, what's it like to feel in then? Like you're saying that the reconnecting or just the feeling into how everything, there's not a separation, is there? So it's not, that's why I asked about disconnecting, because sometimes disconnecting can be like a pushing away, and I did not think that that's what you were talking about, Jigme.
No.
Exactly. We could still feel there's still a connection, yet there's something much faster or greater, yeah?
Yeah. And I kept mentioning that when I experience this phase, I feel that, you know, I planted a seed and the plant just nourished and grew. And then I'm walking on a path where I have different kinds of plants around me and I'm really feeling the fragrance. And it's a state of joy and it's a state of bliss. And that experience makes me feel so alive.
Yes. Yes. How beautiful. I can feel it now. Can you all feel it? I'm walking the path with you, Jigme. It's a beautiful garden you're describing here. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Now we're nearing our time for break, mm-hmm. although Cynthia has her hand raised. So would you like her to hold her question or inquiry when she comes back?
Yeah, we're going to have plenty of time this morning. Jennifer and I in the next talk are going to talk a bit about next steps. Just so we have time to do that early in the morning, and ethics and permissions and level 2 and certification, things like that. But then we're going to have a whole nother time after that that really is going to be devoted to questions and any last minute questions. So Cynthia, I would love if you don't mind holding your question, and we'll come back to it a little later this morning. Thanks, Denise. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Jennifer.